Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Amen. All right. So Psalms 133, behold, remember that was, I have something for you. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren, that which is you and I, saints of God, to dwell together in unity. Verse 2, it is like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron. Do you remember we talked about the oil, what it represents? We talked about Aaron being the first anointed priest. So God is referring to unity as number one in his book. It is something that is holy. It is something that grabs heaven's attention. It is something that operates, heaven operates through when unity is given between each other, with each other. Guess what happens? Heaven can come on the scene and bring all the blessing that we need. It can come on the scene and it could destroy the works of the enemy on our behalf. It could come on the scene and those things that have been spoken in evil can be broken and can be blessed by God. You see, when we walk in unity, it's anointed. Verse 3, it is like, this is where we're going today, it is like the dew of Hermon. We go, what is the dew of Hermon? Descending upon the mountain of Zion, right? Like, what is that? Where's the mountain of Zion? Zion, like the national park? For there the Lord commanded blessing and life forevermore. I always try and read these verses like maybe somebody who doesn't know where all these places are in the Middle East or where the reference is that he's talking about. And so I looked it up. I started studying it out. But I believe God, before we get there, wanted me to remind us that we are to be a body of one. That when we said yes to God, we said no to our old life. And we said yes to our new life. We became a new creation in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means that I am one body, one spirit, one mind with who God has put me into. You see the girlfriend next to you? She's your sister in Christ. She's dangerous. She's beautiful. She's fun. She can be feisty at times, right? She has her moments, but I love her. I forgive her. I give grace towards that. Because why? Because we're family. And you see, you can forgive family much quicker than you forgive someone who's not in your family, right? When someone that is your family member, you will go to town for them, even if they're wrong, right? My brother Luke and I, we would fight like beasts. And my mom was like, what is wrong with you guys? And I'm like, it's just fun picking on him. And so I would pick on Luke, and it was just something fun for me. But when someone else picked on him, I went to bat. I was like, you mess with my brother, I'm going to kill you. I remember getting on a bus one time because a little kid was picking on him. And I said, if you ever touch him, I will get on this bus again. I will beat you up. Luke said that person never bugged him again. Because I was the older sister. My mom probably did not know that story. There's a sense of ownership when it's family, right? When it's your kid, oh, mama bear, don't mama bear me, right? My kid might be wrong, but I'm the mom. And I love my kid. And I can say my kid is wrong, but you can't say my kid is wrong. Right? How about the husband? I can complain about him, but when you start agreeing with me about my complaint about him, you are off my list of people I want to talk to anymore. You see, because there's a unity, there's a covenant, there's something there that God has joined together that let no man pull apart. When we have children, they grow inside of us. They're a part of who we are. They're our DNA. They are what represents us. When we leave this earth, there's a piece of us left on the earth. You see, God is saying, when you said yes to me and you said no to your old man, you then became one with who I am, and you are now in a new family and you have a new identity. And when the devil comes to knock at your door, he doesn't just mess with you, he messes with me, and all of the angels in heaven are going to be going on your behalf and fighting your battles, and I've got your back, girlfriend. You see, but when we are out of unity with Christ, what happens? When a family member makes you mad and they want something, I don't ever do this. Ever. I still answer the phone. I still do everything they need for me. Wrong. When they call, I'm like, not right now. No. Oh, you want me to what? Yeah, I'll think about it. Right? Because they burned you. Maybe you've had somebody like borrow money from you over and over and over again. And they're like, I'll pay you back. I promise. But they never pay you back. Right? So they have lost your trust. They have not followed through on their end of the relationship deal. So what does that do? That breaks a bond between you and them, right? And you no longer would be wise to give them money any longer, right? Some of you are going, oh, I guess I shouldn't. Yeah, no, probably not. Well, it's the same with God. When God says, I'm asking you to walk this out in unity, and you're still choosing to do it your way, then I can no longer speak into your life because you're not listening to me. When you choose to be angry and mad at a person who has asked for forgiveness from you, have you ever had somebody say, please forgive me, I'm really sorry, and then you're still mad at them, you still keep them in that contempt? You know that saying where it's like, when you don't forgive someone, you're the one that's hurting and they're the one. That's not true. It's really not. Because a person that you're holding in unforgiveness, they know. And if they love you, they're hurting too. Because they want you and them to be back in a relationship. You see, God wants to be intimate with us, wants us to be in unity with who he is. When you are in that perfect unity with who Christ is, right? Then you can be in unity with everyone around you. Because if you could do it with him, then you can go to him and say, I don't know how to do it with them. And he can say, well, let me help you through agape love. Remember, this is an anointing thing. You don't do this on your own. You do it with me. You do unity because of me. And see, it changes the whole perspective of it, right? It's a more doable process for us. The other day, something happened in my life. And I have not really found myself in this position in probably years where I was mad at God. I mean, I was mad at him. And I went to bed, I was mad at him. And I knew he knew I was mad at him. But, you know, he's so gracious. I always feel like he's hovering over me, like, smiling, like, oh, when you're ready. And I was like, go away. I don't want to talk to you. So I woke up in the morning, and I was just going to go on with my day. Well, I don't just go on with my day in the morning. I've made routines that are healthy and godly. So now I'm getting up in the morning, and I'm like, nope, not doing that routine because I'm mad at you. I'm not talking to you. Nope, I'm not doing that either because that means I would have to talk to you. So what was I doing? I was separating myself from the one who I'm supposed to be in unity with. What did he say to me? He said, I need you to go journal. Knock it off. If you won't talk to me, journal it out. Fine. So I go and I journal it out. And I'm like, forgive me, God, for being mad at you. And he's like, don't you think I have your in my hand? Don't you think that I know the end from the beginning? Don't you think that I knew this was going to happen and that this is what I need to happen because something else better is going to come along and greater? And for the kingdom, I'm going to do something equipping and some filling and some restoring. Don't you think I know the bigger plan? Yes, please forgive me. And as soon as I got back into communion with him, guess what happened? I could hear his voice again. I was at peace again. I was happy again. And it didn't take me too long to have to. So some of you can be mad at God for years. I've met people that are literally so mad at God. And he's going, hello, you're not in union with me. If you could just be in unity with me, one body, one mind, one spirit, you can have some freedom in the areas you're so bound by. And so I believe that God was teaching us in this, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. But in that, we learned the anointing of it. And then at the end of this, God is saying to us, now be in unity with me. Keep that unity put together with me. Because I am the source of everything for you. And this is what it says at the end of this verse. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. I don't know about you, but I need a blessing in my life. I want to live in blessing in this nasty world. I want to live a life, it says life forevermore. We don't even understand that concept. We think life is just what's happening now in this day and age. We live in the sadness of death and life. We live in the poverty mentalities that we've generations have been passed down to us. We live in capacities that we feel like we can't get out of these boxes because this is the way it's always been. But what if I was to tell you that today you could break out of that box and that God has something bigger and greater for your life. And that those things that your mother and your grandmother and your great-grandmother and your great-grandmother had going on in their lives, you don't have to have going on in your life. What if I told you that you don't have to talk the way they did? You don't have to walk out the things the way that they did. What if I told you that there's a God in heaven who says, if you join with me and you stay united to who I am, I will bring you blessing because I commanded it, and I will give you life forevermore. That means beyond this earth. That when you close your eyes, this is just a passing through, but there is an eternity-bound, heart-driven purpose for you and your family and your children. I don't think you get it, girls. We live in the now. We live in this moment. We just lost our friend Sylvia. You know what Sylvia was saying at the end of her life? Guys, I'm going home. Don't be sad. Where are you going to eat after I pass away? I mean, literally, she said that to them. Because she had a concept that this is just a fleeting moment. But yet, she's headed for the one that is eternal. She's going to heaven. She's going to see her maker, her first love, the one who formed her, created her, cherishes her, who loves her like nobody else does, who she stayed in unity with. You see what I'm saying? Death should not be the end of something for us. It should be the beginning of something for us. And God says that when you stay united to me, those things on earth that are hard to bear, those things on earth that are hard to swallow, those things on earth that are hard to maybe calculate in our minds, like why did they say this and when did this happen? And how did my marriage change and how did my kids turn out like this? You can turn it back to who God is and say, but I'm gonna start beginning a new path and I'm gonna make new ways and new rivers in the desert. I'm gonna ask for the favor and the blessing of heaven to fall upon my family like it hasn't before. And I refuse to be in disunity because I have a God who never has separated from me. A God who has always loved me, always been faithful, and commands a blessing over my life and wants life forevermore for me. Girls, you're not alone. You might feel alone, but the maker of heaven and earth is sitting right next to you on your bed at night when you're alone. You're never alone because he's in unity with you every day, day and night, in and out. There is not a moment that you have to be alone. Learn that he's your best friend. We are one body, one mind, one unity with each other. This is an eternal command. Woo, when something is eternal, for life forevermore, that's eternal. That means I've got to do my part here on earth. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks. That means, sometimes we don't understand that, right? Because you're like, I'm not Jew. I'm not a Greek. What it's saying is either you're in Jewish descent, you're in Greek, then there's the Gentiles. How many of us are not Jewish or Greek? Right? That's all of us. That would be everybody in this room probably. You're like, well, 10%, the DNA test said 10%. I'd say Americans are like mutts. We just have everything in us, right? And God says it doesn't matter what that says. What it does say to me is you're still part of me. And it says that whether you are slave or free, we are no longer bound, church. You are no longer bound by your sin, by the weights that have carried you, by the strongholds that have been spoken over you. You are no longer. When you choose to walk and live in those things, then you will. But when you choose to step outside of those things, God breaks some things off of you and freedom begins to happen for you and through you. We have been all made to drink in one spirit. Whew. I want drink. I want refreshing of the spirit today. How many of you are ready for a refreshing of God's word in your life? When you've been thirsty and you feel like drained, have you ever been like, I just need water. I just need water. And there's like nothing. And then you like go around your whole house and you're like, where's the good water? These kids drink everything. I guess I have to drink out of the spout in the sink. But even that, you're like, it's good. It's refreshing to my soul. It's like a washing. It's like a cleansing. And I'm here to tell you the Holy Spirit is here today because he is in unison with you. And because you being here today pleases him. You making time for him today pleases him. You stopped your day to come hear something about Jesus. And God says, oh, you have my attention, daughter. I hear you. Ephesians 4:3 says, we are endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are endeavoring this. Guys, we don't always get it right. We don't. And that's okay. God knew that. Heaven knew we would do that. but endeavor to keep the peace and the bond of spirit of truth. Endeavor, girls, means strive for it, contend for it. Choose to do it. Whether the other party does or doesn't, you do your part. You walk in love. You do your piece. There's been some things in my life that I've really just pressed into and just been like, I'm going to keep doing this, even though I feel totally dumb or uncomfortable in this. I'm going to keep trying to reach out to people that don't want me in their life. I'm going to keep trying to do these things. And you know what's happening to me? People are kind of reaching back now. And I'm a little bit like, oh, no, you don't get to reach back now. Like, and the Lord is dealing with me because it's like, wait, you sowed into this unity. You sowed into this love. Don't you dare let the devil steal what you're now reaping from it. You're reaping that they're ready to talk again. They're ready to have a conversation. They're ready to see the God that's happening inside of what's going on. And it was like, oh yeah, forgive me, Lord. And those conversations are opening up again. Those places are opening up again. You never know how long it will take, but when you contend for peace and for unity, the presence of God is all over it, and he will not let go of it. And God is gracious to you, and he's got your back. Listen, the world around us is so nasty and evil right now. You flip on the news, everybody's biting and devouring each other. I've never seen us so marginalized or so pulled apart. When I was younger, I grew up in, you know, the 80s and the 90s, and we would be in a room, and we would laugh at each other's differences. It wasn't, like, offensive. They would call me cracker, I'd laugh. I would say something about, like, not going swimming, and they would laugh, and nobody would care. Not one person would care. We would laugh. We would enjoy each other. We laughed. We ate all different types of food together. It was like I grew up in just multicultural, and it was fun. Now, you can't say anything about anything. If you say it the wrong way, someone's going to twist it out of whack. Somebody's going to say something that's offensive. Somebody's going to say, well, you need to know the history. Listen, let me tell you something. When we are the body of Christ, we cannot be so easily offended with each other. It is this foolishness. And what it's doing is biting and devouring us, and it's actually separating us so there's no unity happening in our country. We are not united, we stand right now. We are divided. And guess what happens when we're not united? The enemy comes in and takes us out. We're not any different than where we came from. And so what I'm saying to you, Church of the Most High God, stop looking at the tribes in which we came from. Because honestly, me as a white girl, I'm from many tribes. And I don't even know who they are. Like if I saw my family walking down the street, I would not know they were family. It doesn't matter to me. You know who my tribe is? You. You're my tribe. You're my family. You're the ones that are in my life. You're the ones that are going through the word together. You're the ones I could say, hey, let's pray together. Hey, what's going on in your life? It doesn't matter about the color of your skin, your age. It doesn't matter about what your preference of sex is even, honestly, because I'm still commanded by God to love. You see, what I'm saying is, what if the church would just be in unity and not bring the outside world into the church, but actually kick those mindsets out of the church? And we say, we're going to learn what God says. God says he loves us all. And that we all are different, yes. But that's the beauty of it, right? Because if we were all the same, how boring would we be? But yeah, God is saying, I love that there's so many tribes coming together and worshiping what? One God. His name is Jesus. Learning what? One truth. The word of God together. We're learning the word together. One truth. One mind. One body, one spirit. His name is Jesus. He is the Holy Spirit. He's working in you just as he's working in me. Did you know he's not a respecter of persons? That means that when Marlo hears from God, I can trust it because I know Marlo's hearing from the voice of God. When Pastor Deborah is hearing from the voice of God, I can trust it because she's hearing from the voice of God. When I hear April back there, who's been praying and saying, hey, you know, the Lord just had you on my heart. I'm praying for you. I know that's God. Because why? Because it's one spirit. The Holy Spirit is working through us and in us to encourage each other, to bring us together, to mold us together and shape us together, to not look like what the world has created, what the devil has segregated, but to bring us together to say, knock it off. You are my children. You are my body. You are different, but you are one in who I am. So celebrate your differences and love me big. That's what God wants us to do. If the church would just act like the church, where would our country be? Where would it be? Not even the church is in unity. Not even the church. Forgive us, God. You see, I know this could be a heavy message, but I believe that God wants us to grasp the concept of putting the petty, foolish things aside and stepping into some spiritual truths that will guide our steps from dividing us into uniting us. See, God commands a blessing, and what God commands is. And you have to believe that. 36% of people don't believe that this is fully the truth. 36% of the church. They take pieces of it. They think that it is partially, yeah, well, I believe some things for it, but not all things. What? You either believe it or you don't. So I would question your salvation. You can challenge me on that afterwards if you want to. Because I'm telling you right now, this is either all truth or it's not. He's either a liar or he isn't. And he is not a liar. And his word is our anchor, and it is our source, and it is our life, and it is our guide. And when we believe it, when we stand on it, when we begin to speak it over our lives, power happens. So when God says, if you will be in unity, I will command a blessing upon you, that means that's going to happen. It's happening. It is. Show me in the scripture, Pastor Jess. Psalms 148:5 says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Whoo, hold on. You didn't create yourself, did you? You didn't pick the color of your eyes or the color of your skin. You didn't pick your big mouth or your quiet mouth. You didn't pick if you were pear-shaped or apple-shaped. You didn't pick that. Guess who did? Heaven did. God did. He knew you and he formed you. Psalms 33:9. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. So when God says, I'm going to command a blessing over you, when you choose to walk in unity, I can bank on that. Because when God commands something, when he speaks something, when he says it's going to be done, it is. He has proven himself so many times over and over and over again. Not one human in your life will ever not let you down as much as God. God has never let you down. Humanity will, but God will never let you down. So when God says, I command a blessing, when you choose to walk in unity, you can bank on it. I love God so much that he doesn't just leave us there with a blessing, but he says life forevermore. God knows what he is doing when we follow him. When we trust him, when we believe in him, guess what? He's got your back. If God does all of this, he asks us as his children to be in unity because there is a blessing and life forevermore is attached to our unity. Let's strive to cultivate some peace in our lives and peace with those around us. Can we do this? 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, that the God of love and peace will be with you. You see, God wants us to cultivate unity. I'm gonna go back to the verse. I wanna go back to it now because what does cultivating unity mean? It means it takes some time to cultivate some peace. Sometimes you are finding yourselves in a chaotic moment in your families, maybe chaotic moments in friendships, maybe chaotic moments in marriage. How do I cultivate peace when I don't know where to get it from? Well, let's say the dew of Hermon. Whoo, wait, what? We're going back to those weird words that we didn't know about. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion. What does that mean? I have a picture of a mountain. Let's see if they have it. That is actually Mount Hermon. And it is very high. And I read about this mountain yesterday. This mountain has so many resources on it. It's ridiculous that it creates so much moisture that pulls down, and it all starts with dew. And it goes down into every part, all the way down to the bottom of the mountain. They said that there's so much unique foliage that it is all nourished and nutritioned and provided for by the dew that is put on top of that mountain. And it comes from the top all the way down. That reminds me of the anointing oil that we learned about, right? Comes from the top all the way down. You see, God wants us to pull from him and cultivate some peace and unity in our lives. And that's going to just start with us first. It's going to start with our time with the Lord. It's going to start with our choices towards other people. And then guess what happens? You're going to begin to see it flourish. And things are going to sprout up around you. And you're going to see unity like you never have before. You're going to see restoration. You're going to see life forevermore. Not just here on this earth, but when you step into heaven, you're going to go, oh, hi. You're going to see the fruit of your obedience here on earth. But why not start that now while we're here? Why wait for it when we get there? Let's do it now. Let's activate heaven on our behalf. Let's allow that dew of Hermon to fall. Can you show the picture of dew on a plant? When I wake up in the morning and we have had moisture in the air, isn't it wonderful in California when we get that? It's like the desert. Ugh. And so when we get moisture, I love it because my plants are all green. And you know all those hills back here? They're all green. When you drive through Moreno Valley or Ritchie Canyon, they're gorgeous, right? Well, that's from what? The dew. All the moisture in the air saturates the ground and it brings forth life. It springs beauty. It springs blessing. It springs growth. Remember the poppy hills and they had to close them down over there? That was all from dew, rain and dew and the moisture in the atmosphere. What if God said, I want to soak you up with my spirit? What if God says, I want to pour out upon you? And the avenue for my pouring out, the avenue for my soaking up is unity. You see, we got some new choices to make in life then, don't we? We need to go home and go, who do I need to reconnect with? Who do I need to pray for when I stopped praying for them because I was mad at them? Who do I need to, and guys, this might start with God. I've been mad at you, God. Forgive me. You see, God wants blessing to pour out upon you today. And I just feel like God is saying, just release it to me right now. Just take a moment right now. Be within yourself and God. Take a moment. Say, Lord, there's just been so much. And I know that the unity has separated me in many areas of my life. But I'm asking that you would help me to walk in unity again. Refresh me. Fill me with that dew. Fill me with that water. Pour over me, God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just wash today from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, a fresh anointing, a fresh washing, a healing power. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that those broken relationships that they thought were doomed, that they could never restore, God, I ask for healing. I ask for unity, especially if they're a Christian, God. I pray that you'd speak to the other Christian and that there would be unity that would reign and rule in life. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we break the bond of the devil. We break his power over their lives. And Lord, we release the blessing of heaven over them right now in Jesus' mighty name. Speaking of unity, I'm going to go right into this. In 1 Corinthians 11:23, go with me to 1 Corinthians. You can prep the communion. We're going to take communion together, but here at The Rock, we don't take it lightly because we don't want you to take communion when there's brokenness between you and God. And in these verses, he's speaking about communion, but did you know what was going on in the church? He walked into a church that was in chaos. They were literally drunk off the wine. They were fighting amongst themselves. Their hearts were a mess. And they were like overeaten on the bread. That's not us. I don't see any of you in any of those forms today. But what's going on the inside? You see, so he's saying, this is what he says in these verses. For I received from the Lord, which I've also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night, which betrayed, he took bread. And when he said, give thanks, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took from the supper, this cup is a new covenant with my blood. Do this as often as you drink this cup till the Lord's death, till he comes. Verse 27, this is what we're talking about. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks of this cup of the Lord is in an unworthy manner and will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That is some scary, harsh words right there. If you think about it, we don't often use these scriptures in churches, but we need to. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself so that let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. For if he eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, he eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, Listen to this verse. For this reason, many are weak and are sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that way we may not be condemned with the world. God doesn't want you to live in disunity with him. But when we are not putting a priority on breaking bread together, I kind of wish we had the tables today, but it just so happened this wasn't the setup we had already. Because when we sit around those tables, girls, guess what's happening? We're breaking bread together. We're praying together. We're in unity with each other. This is pleasing to God. When you say, hey, I've got an issue. Can you help me pray through this? Guess what happens? Heaven goes, yes, we can fix this. We can work this out. But when we're not talking and when we're fighting amongst each other, when they're drinking wine and getting drunk, when they're not breaking bread together, when they choose to no longer congregate together, there's not a blessing upon them. So that was part of the unity of what God was talking about. So they find themselves sick and weak because God never intended for us to do life alone. But he wanted us to have a life with each other. Isn't that beautiful? That God commanded us to do life together. Because in it there would be blessing. In it there would be healing. In it there would be faith joined together, linking together. And you can pray for healing. You can pray for family members. You can pray for whatever your issues are. And God says that when two or more are gathered, that he is in the midst of us. How beautiful is that? And then to break bread together, how beautiful to remember what God did for us because he loved us so dearly and so deeply. So examine our hearts. Have we broken communion with friends? Have we broken communion with family members? Are we being stubborn? Are we unpleasing to God in heaven over this? Do we need to die to ourselves and say, hey, I'm sorry. Hey, I forgive you. Hey, I want to make things right. Ask the Holy Spirit about that. Second meaning to this verse is some of you aren't in unity with God. Remember how I opened up with us being in unity with who he is? His name is Jesus Christ. He came for 33 years on this earth. He walked like we walk. He ate like we ate. He had friends. He was rejected. He was beaten up. He was bloodied on a cross. And he became a sacrificial lamb for you and for I, so that his blood, when it ran, that we would be cleansed and we would be washed and we'd be clean, and that our sins would no longer hold us back from heaven, but we could so come boldly to the throne of God and say, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And when we do that, we now have access and we are forgiven, fully restored and blessed and become children of the Most High God. This does not happen just because. This does not just happen because you came to church today. Did you know that? You can't get to heaven by coming to church. You can't go to heaven if you're singing on the worship team. I know Jared personally, so I know he's saved. But if Jared was here just playing the piano, didn't ask God to come into his heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, that would not get him into heaven. You don't get to heaven by going and taking communion. In fact, it says that you're cursing yourself. Don't do that. What God is saying is examine yourself. Find out where you're at with God. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, today I am talking to you. Before you receive the elements, are the juice and the cracker that we have for you. We will pass those out. But before you do that, you need to make sure you're right with God. You need to make sure that you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life. Maybe some of you have been running from God instead of to God. You've been playing a lot of your own games and some of God. And you're miserable in both worlds because you're never going to be happy in both places. It doesn't work that way. And God is saying to you, it's time to get right. It's time to make a straight path with me. It's time to come full-heartedly 100% after me. Quit playing games. Quit being lukewarm. Revelation talks about being lukewarm. Jesus says, you're either hot or you're cold, but if you're lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. God is saying, I'm holding you to it. I'm holding you accountable. Where are you at? I don't believe that Jesus is asking this because he wonders, because he knows all. He is God. He knows where you're at. You're not hiding from him. He wants you to come to terms with where you're at with him. And he's asking you because he loves you. Examine yourself. Get right with me, is what God is saying. Ask me to come and be your Lord and Savior. Because I made you, daughter. I formed you in your mother's womb. I cherish everything about you. And I've been waiting for the day to be reunited with who you are. That's what God is asking today. So maybe you've been wondering if you should do this. Today's your day. Make sure. I want to give you an opportunity to get right with God. I want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus if it's your first time. So it's going to work. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and I'm going to do that. And you're going to raise your hand. And when you raise your hand, I'm going to see it. You go, well, I'm kind of embarrassed. I don't want anyone to judge me. Listen, no judgment. We are all praying for you. We're excited for you. We want you to do communion with us because remember, we are family. We love you. And when you do this, we're going to be celebrating with you. So please know you're in a safe environment. But not just that. Did you know Jesus talks about it? He says that when you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father when you get to heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Oof. Jesus is pretty in your face, isn't he? But you know why? He gave everything for you. And he's asking you to give everything for him in return. And so today's your day. Let's make sure. Let's examine our hearts. Let's get right with God. And then let's take communion together as a beautiful family, okay? Can we do that? All right. Get ready. If you've never asked Jesus to come in your heart, be the Lord and Savior of your life, get ready on the count of three. If you've been running from God instead of to God and you need to get right, you want to make sure before you take communion that you're right with the Lord. Get ready. I'm talking to you. On your mark, get set. You're going to heaven. Go. Who needs to know Jesus? I see that hand. I see that hand. It's beautiful. Anyone else? Do not take communion if you're not right with the Lord. All right, we have one. I'm going to pray with you. We're all going to pray together, okay? And if you're going, oh, good, she like passed me up. It's only because of time I would keep going. But I need to baptize people. We got things to do. So what we're going to do is we're all just going to pray together. So if you were like, I didn't have to raise my hand. Well, you know what? You can pray the prayer right now with all of us, okay? It's between you and God anyways. This is an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So everybody bow your heads and close your eyes and repeat after me. Dear Father God, I come before you today and I ask that you forgive me of my sins, that you would wash me, that you would cleanse me, and that today you would come into my heart and be the Lord and Savior of my life. I leave my old man behind and I step in to a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm part of a new family today. I deny hell and I'm headed for heaven. I have a new beginning. I have a new future in who you are. Holy Spirit, fill me, teach me, use me, and equip me to live on this earth like Jesus every day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Awesome. Mom, I'm gonna actually ask you to come up and do communion with me because I know you could do this off the top of your head. I thought about asking her last night. I was like, no, I'm going to like just bring her up. And Mom, let's pass the communion out. Let's pass it out. And I love communion because it's a time to break bread together. And it's not always like wine and bread, but like even when we have family dinners together, right? That's a way of breaking bread together. When you take a friend out and you're like having a meal with them and you're talking about Jesus, that is a communion with who God is, you know? And you guys are in unity. I believe these are the things that are beautiful before God, but this is communion right now for us to think upon who God is and what he's done for you in your life. So do you want to do the first part of it? Yeah.
I just want to, what a beautiful, just from start to finish this morning, what a beautiful word that you began with, that God wants us uncomfortable with what heaven is uncomfortable with. I wrote that down, and I thought, my goodness, how vital we are to him is his body. He's the head, we're the body. And this whole teaching on unity is so, the penny needs to drop. It needs to become revelation to me. Because I have a frame of reference living in this world and being independent, born, you yourself, you're born into sin, you're born into self-centeredness. It's you're hungry, the first thing you do is cry and you want to become, and you eat. And then you're brought into a family and you're brought in and God just begins to show you family and community and all of that, but we're still independent. And here comes the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to show us what unity and oneness is. There's a fusion. There's a joining. Where one ends, the other begins. Where one is in the middle, the two are on each end. There's no jockeying for position. There's different jobs, different giftings, but there is oneness and unity. It's like our bodies. My head and my soul and my spirit are joined. I don't wake up without my head. I don't wake up without my spirit. I don't wake up without my soul. I'm one. And I believe he did that so that he could teach us every day, every breath that we take, we are one with ourselves. Death is separation. And when we die, we separate from this earthly body and we join. But we're joined in baptism. We're joined in communion. He's become one with us. And he said in Hebrews chapter 10, I believe it's 10. I don't have my glasses, so I can't see. So I'm going to quote it. He said, a body thou hast prepared for me. Lo, it is written in the volume of the book that you prepared for me a body, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Could you read it for me, Jess?
Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of a book. It is written of me to do your will, O God.
So he quotes out of the Psalms in the book of Hebrews, speaking of Jesus. And Jesus was prophesied, and the Old Testament teaches us what was coming and how God was coming in man, that God was going to so identify with us that he would become the last Adam. Our first Adam, our father, threw us into sin. But the last Adam that was coming, God in the flesh, took on a body. He identified with you and I. There's a man seated at the right hand of the Father. He still has scars in his hands and the scar in his side. He has so become one with humanity that he became a man. And so as we take communion this morning, two things happen. We join together and we remember. We remember, one, that we are so loved, so completely embraced by the Godhead, that even though we were separated from God in death and sin, that God said, I'm not gonna leave you that way. I have such a plan, and it's a mystery and it's hidden. The Old Testament spoke of it, and the New Testament explains it. But I'm coming, and I'm coming as God, but God in the flesh. And not only am I going to go to that cross and take on the sin of this world and the sin of humanity, but I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to take the keys of death and hell. I'm going to be the firstborn from the dead. I'm going to rise again. And as I rise, you rise. As I am alive in the new creation, you are alive. Jesus came to show us what we could be. What we could be in a human body. And what he's saying is, church, you are now my body in the earth. As I am, so are you. And as we take communion and we remember the sacrifice, a body thou hast prepared for me. He's still in that body. He knows everything that you'll ever go through. He knows every temptation that you will ever have. He knows every disappointment in yourself and others that you will ever feel. And he's overcome, and he loves us. And he says, remember. Remember that you're not alone. Remember that I am one with you, that you are the body and I am the head. And as we take communion this morning, there's a man seated at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews 7:25 says, he ever lives to make intercession for us. When no one's praying for you, when you think you're alone, he's praying for you. He's got you. He hasn't left you. He has a plan, and he gets us. Oh, and he loves us. He knows the worst thing about me. He still loves me, and he wouldn't tell anybody. He keeps my secrets and changes me and changes you, because a body thou hast prepared. Lo, I come, written in the volume of the book, to take away sin. Jesus said, this is my body. I love what Pastor Dan does. He breaks it, the broken body of Jesus. This is my body that is broken for you. Eat all of it in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember. We thank you for the Savior who has become one of us so that we could become your children and be joined to you. We remember, and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you for loving us and changing us and having a plan for our lives. And Father, we remember as we eat and partake of this communion table, we remember.
So beautiful. As his body was broken and he was whipped, that thorn was on his head. I always remember the Passion, that movie, and I remember as a young person watching that, just so like, ooh, ooh, ooh. Because to see someone you love so much broken open, literally mangled, so that I and you would have the freedom to be washed away of sin. That's humongous. And sometimes it's easy to forget the price that was paid for our life. Sometimes it's easy to forget how valuable you are. And his blood today is screaming at us, you're worth every drop. You're worth every cut. You're worth every part of my life because I love you, daughter. And his blood today washes away our sins. It cleanses us. It restores us. It fills us. It's our source of life. It's why we can move on with your day. It's why you can live even in the hard times. It's why you can pick yourself back up and say, I can do this because I have a God in heaven who gave his whole life for me. So now I've got to dust myself off and keep going so that I could show him that what he did wasn't worth anything, but it was worth everything, and that I will give it all today, God. And so as we drink today from the blood, this is what I want us to remember. That it's our commitment to who he is. From us to him. And I want to pray a prayer out loud together. And then we're going to drink. Actually, it says, drink this in the same manner. Sorry, it just messed up. In the same manner. I can't anymore, Mom. It's amazing. It's amazing. Drink this in remembrance of me. The blood. He took it. Jesus himself. Isn't that kind of a crazy thought? I always think about that. I'm like, he knew what he was doing. He knew he was going to that cross. He knew he was going to have to be ripped open. And he's saying, this is what I give for you. But now, guys, that is past. He did his job It's our job now to continue what he started that day. And so, Lord, we commit to you this morning to be daughters of the Most High God, because that blood was shed all those years ago so that we could have life, so that we could be forgiven. Lord, we don't want to forget what you've given, what you've done, what you've poured out. And Lord, today we commit to love you in deeper ways, to run after you in new levels, God, to learn your word, which will edify us. And Lord, that we will be your hands and your feet. We will be the mouthpiece for Jesus Christ here on this earth that is lost and dying. And Lord, today we commit our lives, a sacrifice for your purpose, your will, and your desire. Today, God, we drink in remembrance of what you gave that day for us. And Lord, we honor you with our life. In Jesus' name, go ahead and drink.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.